Hi, HR Nation, it's Chris Rainey. Welcome to HR Leaders, the show where we interview today's most successful and innovative HR practitioners 5 days a week. Today, we're joined by Tony Thompson, Vice President of People and Talent for The Muse. Welcome to the show, Tony. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing well.
Fantastic. Before we jump in, Tony, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself personally and your journey to where we are today.
Sure. So I'm from the Midwest, Milwaukee specifically, and moved to New York 11 or 12 years ago. I love it. Love the food, love the energy. Probably won't leave. Consider myself a New Yorker. Personally, some hobbies. Well, I have a son. I guess he's not a hobby, but love him. So I have a 2.5-year-old son, and you'll find me hanging out with him, swim classes, all the activities, and in my spare time, I try to do yoga, try to do tennis, and I say try because I have a 2.5 son.
I love that. As soon as I had our first baby, which is recently, now I have the word try in front of all of those too.
Exactly. Try is So that's about me personally. My journey, I started off in client service and brand strategy work at two companies, Miller Brown and Campbell Mithun. And I transitioned then into HR and talent work when I joined McCann Erickson. I was there for 6 years, had a great career, was responsible for diversity and inclusion and recruiting starting off, and that expanded into HR. And I transitioned then to Condé Nast and was there for 5 years. And I had the opportunity to grow and develop hundreds of editors and product managers and engineers, a wide range of talent, and had the opportunity to touch every facet of HR while I was there, which is a rare opportunity, from learning and development to change management and compensation, like a wide range, which was really great. And I also had the opportunity, I was leading a team by the time I left there, and I had the opportunity to partner with leadership to build out their first digital business unit of roughly 800 employees. So really phenomenal ride at Condé Nast. And now I am at The Muse, where I'm VP of People of Talent. And that means, in a nutshell, that we are responsible for hiring extraordinary talent that align to our business needs, but also to our culture, which I think is really important. And in addition, making sure that our employee experience is really superior and continues to be our competitive advantage, really. So HR, learning and development, employer branding and recruiting is kind of what I focus on now with my team.
And fantastic. Great. It feels like all of those experiences now have now culminated in this role, right? So you exactly. Really take all of that experience you've got from those organizations. It seems like a perfect fit for the current role you're in. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's really great. I love my job and I love the company. Yeah.
For those that don't know about The Muse, tell us a little bit about the organization, because I know you have to, as you say on your LinkedIn profile, which I did a bit of stalking, two badass women with a mission to make the job surf experience more human, enjoyable, and effective for people and companies.
Yes.
I really, really love that part. So tell us a bit about the company and the founders.
Yeah, that is how I feel. And, you know, we are a technology company that was founded by two badass women. I mean, they are really phenomenal, Catherine Alex. And, they saw a need in the market and they jumped on it about 7 years ago and never looked back. And so we offer users an inside look as to what it's really like working at a company. We have 75 million people that visit, and they come to research companies and careers. They come to find out what isn't on the job description, what is the company workplace like, the values, things like that. And then we offer employers an opportunity, lots of tools to basically capture their employee stories, turn those stories into really engaging content, and then opportunities to track their employer branding efforts and the impact that has on their recruiting strategy. I was a client of The Muse before I joined, and I really struggled with telling that story in my previous companies. You know, how do you really communicate what it's like at your company really authentically so that you find the right talent match? And I'm really happy that I work at a company that's trying to help HR and talent people in that way, while also helping users. It's a really great mission.
You're winning from both ends of the spectrum now. That must be really cool for you to work in a company that has that mission, but you're working in HR in that company.
Exactly. It's really great. Yeah.
Fantastic. Have you been able to work more closely with the team as well to bring your knowledge experience to the product as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm able to help out with training. I pretend I'm a client, pretend I'm a good bad client and a bad client. And we're able to test out products before they launch. And we went through an acquisition last year, for example, for a product called Brand Amper. We turned it into Brand Builder, and I got to test out the product. And it's a employee story capture technology that allows you to really pull employees' perspective on what they like about working at the company, how they describe their roles. And I got to use the technology myself and give real feedback as to like, this is what it helped me with. This is what I think the product won't help our clients with. And it's a really great opportunity to do that.
So where you are in the role now, you're looking after all facets of HR, right? Yeah. What are the areas that you're most excited about, that you're focusing most of your attention and time on?
Yeah. Right now we're focusing a lot of our time and effort on going through reviews. We're trying to change up our biannual 360 review process and turning it into a quarterly check-in. So there's sort of ongoing feedback. We're always thinking about how to improve the feedback for employees. So we do a lot of, crucial conversations and how to have direct feedback trainings. You know, we're a really respectful culture. And, you know, on the opposite side of that, you can end up with sort of passive aggressive conversations or conversations that aren't direct enough. And so we're doing a lot of training around that. A lot of really exciting things. We're leaning into some employer branding efforts, setting up an employer branding content library and some experiments around that. We're also setting up some experiments around trying to figure out, you know, based on some of the feedback and overall feedback on what hiring managers have around talent before we're hired, you know, how does that connect to how they actually perform on the job when they start? So we have some experiments around that. Lots of things going on. I could go on forever.
on the 360 feedback thing, what's the biggest challenge from going from yearly to quarterly?
Well, I'll find out.
You're on that journey right now, right? So you're
I'm anticipating a few things, having sort of dabbled in this before. Mm-hmm. I think one of it is you really have to get hiring managers who are dedicated to doing it, because biannual reviews, of course, everyone's moving away from it because it's so administratively burdening and it can just be kind of a pain in the butt for people, and particularly when you have a 360 process, which is more involved. But you get it done, and employees are guaranteed to get feedback in that time because it only happens twice a year. When you move to quarterly, you know, you really have to set up a really turnkey, easy way for hiring managers to get involved. Otherwise, they may not do it, and then you're really doing a disservice to your employees. So,
yeah, so backfire. That's what,
mm-hmm. So I anticipate having to spend a lot of time with my HR director, a lot of time thinking about the process and making it as simple but very effective as possible. So the questions are going to have to be good and the technology is going to have to be good.
Yeah. And also spending time with the hiring the managers themselves to upskill them, because this is not something they're used to. I think a lot of companies, I think when I moved to a company where we had sort of ongoing feedback, and the previous company was that once a year, it was quite a huge change for me to be doing that as well. And they have to really take ownership of it for it to work.
Yeah.
And if you don't provide them with the help that they need, then it's just not going to happen. So
yeah, 100%.
So it's all well and good saying, yeah, we're going to move to a quarterly, and everyone's like, wow, amazing. If you don't, if they're not prepared for it, then it can actually be really backfire on you.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are the stories I think more HR people need to share. It's like,
yeah,
how everyone, was this a everyone, disaster?
Yeah, exactly. Everyone agrees with it. I think I hardly spoke to anyone that hasn't had that said, oh, it's not a great idea to go from yearly, because I think ongoing feedback, because the amount of times that my own personal development would change during that year, like we have that 1 year conversation and it's like, Chris, these are the areas we need to develop. 2 months later, the business might need a completely new set of goals or skills for me than what was set in once a year. So it seems pretty crazy when we think about, innovation, disruption, agile, that we meet once a year to discuss where that person's going.
Moving so fast now, right? What you're doing this month may change next month. So,
So what skill sets are you really focusing on developing at the moment in the business?
In the broader business for employees or within my team?
We'll start within your own team, because I always find that very interesting.
Yeah, I think on the HR side, I really look for good judgment and understanding and interest in the business. And there's some things in some ways, judgment is a little bit just a skill that you innate skill you have, but I think it requires the ability to listen and anticipate risk and understand context. And then you have to make a decision and communicate strategically, empathetically, all those things. And I think if you keep those things top of mind and set expectations for those things on the HR side, I work a lot with my team on that. And then also just understanding the business. across the company, we are looking very focused on leadership training, because I think that leadership skills are not focused on enough in a company. And I think many times you end up with this situation where leaders think they have been leading for so long, why would they need training? And
they've never actually had any training in the first place, so they've been leading absolutely how they think they should be.
Exactly. And yeah. And then you have, you know, entry-level or mid-level managers where, you know, sometimes you can overlook them because you're like, well, the leaders should just be trained. So you end up sometimes with, you know, the manager is trained in leadership, and then you sort of miss the highest ranks or the entry level. And so we're trying to focus as a company on how do we get to everyone with leadership training.
Yeah.
And try to keep it really top of mind and break it down so that people are leaning into opportunities to, you know, if something's not clear, leaning in. And how do you own something? How do you drive something forward? How do you proactively communicate? How do you show empathy? How do you communicate in a way that is, you know, going to be most effective? What's your impact on others? How do you manage up? You know, all those things that kind of fall into the leadership.
You know, yeah. It can be so disruptive to a company when you make those wrong decisions. For example, when I was promoted to be a sales director in my first ever senior manager role, I had no training. I literally was just told, Chris, you're being promoted to lead the team. That's it. Right. No support. I'm not even exaggerating. Nothing. And it was just like, just because I was a great salesperson doesn't mean I'm now going to be a great leader.
Exactly.
They're completely different, and I learned very quickly. They're completely different skill sets of what makes a, you know, the attributes of a salesperson is actually more selfish as opposed to being a leader. So it actually works the opposite way around. So I had to very quickly, you know, just delegating, it sounds simple, but just actually going, you need to delegate now. It's been between you and yourself for the last 8 years. Now you've got to delegate with the team, and you've got to actually understand what what motivates you anymore, but what motivates every single person in the team. What are their strengths and weaknesses?
Absolutely. I see it all the time. And it really has, you know, by the time sometimes you as an HR person catch on to it, it's already been going on for 3-6 months, or you're hearing about it as people have already churned and left the company. And that's just
frustrating,
long and very frustrating and a waste of time. You know, it takes so long to recruit and so much money goes into that.
Yeah.
Why waste the opportunity, you know?
I was shocked at one of our meetings recently. I asked the room, and we're talking about some of the senior HR leaders in the world in our meeting. And I said to the group, you know, put your hand up if you had formal leadership training, and only half the room put their hand up.
Yeah.
And these are people leading, you know, hundreds of thousands of employees.
Oh yeah.
And some of them have never ever received any formal training.
Yeah. And you know what I think is sad is that once you get to a certain level, then people assume that you know how to lead. And so it can be hard for leaders at the top to say, oh, hey,
and for people to approach you.
Yes.
I think one of the frustrations I hear, I don't know if you feel this, a lot of the CHROs say to me, they get quite frustrated because people won't come to them and tell them the issues or challenge them.
Yes.
They want that. But you know, it's kind of like, I say that, they say they want it, but when they get it, they may not like what they hear, but but I hear
it's all in the delivery.
Yeah, it's all in the delivery, constructive feedback as well. Or come to me with a problem as long as you have a potential solution.
Exactly.
But I hear that all the time. Have you ever experienced that before?
Sales? Oh, definitely. And you know, I think that's a really critical role for the HR leader, particularly for, you know, being a partner to the CEO and other senior leaders to be the mirror sometimes, you know, to really take in the feedback from people and try to show, hopefully with data, ideally with data and some sort of assessment, but to really give them a pulse of what people are saying and how in their involvement in that in a really constructive way. And I do think really modern leaders know that they need to be very open to that feedback. And so as painful as it can be, I think if you're an open-minded leader, in my experience, at least at the Muse, they'll hear it. They'll hear it.
And we're living in a day and age now where getting in a position where if you're going to be a senior leader in a global business, then eyes are going to be on you. And never more than any before, you know, we're talking about social media now. There's nowhere to hide on that, right? And it's very important that you, as a leader, you are authentic and that you show weakness. It's actually a positive.
I think. Yes.
There's been a lot of research around it, that CEOs and leaders out there. This episode of the HR Leaders Podcast was brought to you by our friends at Achievers. Two-thirds of employees have one foot out the door in 2024, and the top reason to job hunt? Better compensation. But money isn't everything. The Achievers 2024 Engagement and Retention Report reveals that employees crave emotional salary too. What does emotional salary mean? And what are the ways to increase emotional salary to engage and retain top talent? Learn more about motivating your employees beyond just pay by visiting achievers.com/HR leaders. Again, that's achievers.com/HR leaders. Let's get back to the episode.
The ones that show weakness and show that they're human, right? They can make a mistake, but they own it. Own the mistake. And still, unfortunately, we do have a lot of leaders out there that still have that facade of, but I think it actually makes them stronger, but it makes them weaker.
No, I mean, vulnerability is really important.
It's tough, you know, and I say it all the time to my team, and it's, you know, just tell me, right? If you think there's something I'm doing wrong, let me know why. And I want you to come to me, because if I don't know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But if you don't tell me I don't know, right, then I'm going to keep doing it, and it's going to keep annoying you. If I'm the bottleneck in our business, then I need to know. Or in this process, I need to know. If I'm slowing you down, I need to know.
I know.
You mentioned technology, and you know, it's the buzzword of the era, isn't it? It's the last three, 4 years in HR, technology, predictive analytics, predictive AI, machine learning, etc. It's been a bit of a whirlwind. And I can only imagine from your position, I speak to HR leaders every day now. Yeah. How are you currently utilizing data at the moment to make decisions?
Yeah. Good question. So, I hold a quarterly offsite, and we use a lot of data in that process. And so we pull data from new hire surveys, exit surveys, which we use Culture Amp and Reflective, sort of pull a lot of these inputs, employee pulse surveys, candidate experience surveys through our ATS. So all the inputs. And we look at that on a quarterly basis. We try to put together analysis of what we're seeing. We look at our goals from the previous quarter and try to keep us honest and accountable as to what the data is really saying versus what we want the data to say and where the pain points are within the organization from a training perspective, recruiting perspective, whatever, culture perspective, and try to make goals for the following quarter that are going to align to what we're seeing in the data. So we use technology quite a bit to keep pulling that data consistently throughout the year. And then we formally analyze it on a quarterly basis. And then we share it with the management team. And I think the most important part beyond the analysis of the data is actually sharing your findings with the management, because I think as HR people, at least in my experience, you can feel very alone in the sort of need to change culture or leadership capabilities or skill gaps. I mean, these very hard things to change, and it can seem like it's all on your shoulders. And I think the more you're sharing data insights, the more you're able to organically get leaders excited and involved in those processes, and even contributing ideas and helping. And I think that takes the burden of the team or the people leader feeling like they have to do it all on their own. So we use technology quite a bit to pull in the data and share.
I was going to ask you, you know, how is technology, you know, helping you in your business? You just answered it, right? It seems like it's really empowering you as a leader.
Yeah.
Because I think everyone, and I'm really happy. I really want to sort of emphasize that point for everyone listening, because there's this big fear of, you know, hey, Charles, you know, it's going to take our jobs. And you know, this is a big fear, right? It's real. People worry about it, but really isn't, it's not a replace. It's more to enhance and empower you to make better decisions.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'd love to get, we're not using it now, but I'd love to get to a point where we have like an AI chatbot. You know, I think there's some of the administrative things that HR folks do, and like the daily questions that you're repeatedly answering that you can automate. And I think technology is really great for that. And I don't think technology will ever take our jobs, because people are complicated, right? Like people are complicated.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's so much gray matter and context in what we do every day that is not so black and white. And it would be really hard for technology to take sort of the art of the job out of it.
Yeah. I think I keep saying it to everyone. We've come up so many times on the show, and you're completely right. But every single function's gone through this digital transformation. Now it's HR's turn.
Yeah.
Before it happened with sales,
For sure.
We saw it happen with marketing, go through their digital transformation. We saw it happen with every function. We're seeing it with supply chain now, digital wage of supply chain. And now we're seeing it with HR.
Yeah.
It was going to happen sooner or later as well. And you really have to embrace it. It's going to happen whether you like it or not, guys. So it's happening.
Get on
it's
board.
It's already there, right? We're a 5-person startup, and we have a chatbot our website that answers questions, that gives you information in real time, that can do loads of things that whilst I'm sleeping at home, it can be answering those questions. And it cost me $10 a month, and I programmed it myself. It really is that simple. It's, by the way, it's so easy. I'll send you the details after.
Okay, we have to talk about
it. It's really easy, right? So there's no excuses for it. I think it's just more of it's a mindset shift more than anything else, if I'm honest, from what I'm experiencing, what I'm hearing. As well, how have you, just out of curiosity, you mentioned your team, and of course that the HR team has shifted now with technology. A new set of skills is almost required as well, right? Has that changed the way you hire now in terms of what skills you're looking for?
I really do look for people who understand what data inputs you should keep an eye on, but more importantly why those data points are important. And how they can impact the business. And particularly in HR director, people who've had experience using that data to influence the business. And as I said before, having an interest in the business is really, really important. And
it's essential.
It's essential.
Fundamental.
It's really fundamental. There was this great article I saw from, it was released by Bamboo HR and Payscale, and they had these key questions, and there was 10 questions that HR people should ask themselves on a regular basis to make sure that they're staying close to the business. And one of those things was do you understand the financial model? What are the company's top 5 competitors? What are the customers' desires and needs? All those things that you should be thinking about. And I look for, particularly when I'm hiring, someone who has a real interest in that. So that the HR functions continuously aligned to the business. Because otherwise you end up with talent that really, or training programs that really is sort of working in a vacuum. It's not actually helping the talent get the skills they need or the talent they need to help them and the business move forward. And so those are the things I look for, yeah.
No, I love the way you broke that down, because it's no longer simply good enough to know this is the industry we operate in, and this is what we sell. That's not enough.
Right. Or here's the compliance things I need to do. Or here's the risk of the company legally, which was the case before, for sure. And now it's really more about...
You're looking ahead.
Yes.
It's no longer, rather than reacting, right? You have to be proactive in looking at where's the business going and how can I help you get there? And obviously, especially in the role of HR, you've got to be 5, 10 steps ahead of that to make sure you have that talent pipeline, right? To make sure you know all of that and have it all in place. So
yes,
it's very interesting times indeed.
And I think sometimes, reading between the lines, because, I think sometimes particularly leadership teams aren't educated on how to partner with HR and talent still because of the way the industry and profession has progressed. So I think it's a little bit of reading between the lines and understanding context and trying to insert yourself in business meetings so you can pick up on the needs without people actually coming to you and saying it. Really important.
Yeah, because otherwise, what a lot of the HR leaders do, I've seen, they're kind of doing a bit of everything, whereas opposed to just focusing on those one or two things that are going to have the most impact for the business.
Yeah.
And then coming with the solution. Or some of the times what I used to love to do in my old company, which I think HR should do, is I used to listen out in our board meetings chat for problems that different leaders would have. I'd go away, and at a time it may be in their head it could be a problem, but maybe it's not a problem, but you're making it a problem. And I'll come back with the data and say, here's a solution, or actually you are right, or actually you are wrong, and here's the solution. And that way I'd get much more value out of it as opposed to just going away and focusing on everything.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, especially with technology. There's a million things you can do.
Yeah.
But is it going to add value to the business? If not, then don't do it.
That's the question,
Well, on that point then, where do you, such an interesting, company do you work for and what the value you guys bring is such, so interesting. Yeah. Where do you see the biggest opportunity for improvement then in the organization and in the business?
The reason we're focusing on leadership is, we in our organization specifically, we've been around for 7 years. And if you can imagine the phases that you go through from a talent perspective when you're, you know, 10 employees, 30 employees, 60 employees to now 130.
Set of skills. You need a different set of leadership capability. Absolutely. As you grow, right?
I understand. Experience. Uh-huh. And every time we make a sort of experience upgrade to the company, we end up with a whole nother change management approach. And so I think we just got off of a big change management time as we added in a whole new leadership team, or the first leadership team, I should say, for the company. Yeah. and now we're leaning into leadership training and direct feedback training. I think those are some of our biggest opportunities from a training perspective. But from a company perspective, I think there's a lot of product opportunity. You know, I'm really excited for how we lean into our mission. And of course, I can't share a ton there because it's new, but I'm really excited on how we continue on the mission. You know, we want to authentically connect users and employers, and that sounds buzzy, but I think there's ways in which technology can help do that. And we're sort of in a position to do it now. Mm.
So. I think for the startups listening, you made a really good point, is that the talent that you start with us as a startup may not necessarily be the right people to lead the company as it grows.
Yes.
And I've seen that more and more now, because yeah, it's great. It's okay when you're a small 3, 4, 5 person startup, but as the business grows and more complexity, and it has to be more process driven, of course, and you know, other things that you said, it's a different type of skill set.
It is. It
needs to be required. In the beginning, you kind of need those people that are a bit scrappy, willing to do a bit of everything. You know, if you're a startup, you know, I am finance, marketing, production, operations, you know, we all are. We have particular roles, but you know, we're all carrying the weight, right, and doing everything. But then as we grow, we're going to have to, you know, iron out particular roles. We're actually getting to that position now as a business, like defining our roles and our responsibilities. And we're realizing it's a whole new set of skills.
It is.
To be required and brought in as well. So,
and sometimes a different mindset of the people, they want to do everything. You know, some people want to do everything, and they don't like just staying in one lane. And you know,
that's me, basically. So it can be frustrating, but then you also realize that can be frustrating for other people who want to take the ownership of that as well. Exactly. So yeah, very interesting. Well, look, that leaves us quite nice. So it's a quick fire round where I'm going to ask you 5 questions, and you have no longer than 30 seconds to give us some amazing answers. Are you ready? Okay. I say that on purpose for everyone, because then all of their faces are like, oh my God, did you seriously just say that? What was the number one thing that was holding you back from becoming a HR leader?
Oh, I would say being honest. So delivering really tough feedback. So I think critical conversations was a skill I really had to lean into and learn. And it's been probably the most impactful thing that I've.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely have flashbacks of my first few meetings where I had to have those conversations, and especially if you haven't been trained or prepared in advance, which was in my case, it was just, Chris, you got to go and have that meeting, go and do it. I was like, oh, okay, on my own? No, is HR not going to come in? No, yeah, so I can certainly relate to that. And it's very important, it's tough. And it's very hard, I found, not to become emotionally attached to it as well, and be objective.
Yes. Defensive.
It's tough, because it's not your natural human nature. You want to become attached, and you know, it's hard to be objective. So, very interested. I'm sure everyone listening has been through that same process before. What's the best piece of business advice that you've received in your career?
Well, you know, when starting off, I was told work hard. Follow through on promises, always follow through on promises, or communicate why it couldn't be done, and keep in touch with people after you leave the company.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've always followed those 3 things, and it served me well. I think it's really important to be reliable, particularly in this day and age.
Well, that last one is, for me, is so important as well. You know, the last 3 hires for my company have been previous colleagues.
Absolutely.
And they've been essential hires to our company, because I kept in contact with them, not just for that purpose. I didn't know I was going to start a company.
But
you never know. Yeah, you never know, right? And they may come back around and rejoin your business. It's very important to leave that with that relationship with them. And also, they, you know, when it comes to your brand and people talk.
Yeah.
Well, so it's important that you leave it that way and genuinely want to help them.
And I just think it's really rewarding to feel like you've built solid friendships along your career too. And it's just a sad thought to me that you'd be working for 11 years and would look back and have lost touch with all those people. Me, that's such a sad thought. Maybe some people don't care.
Do you know what, right? Some people don't. In my last company, I had a very outdated leadership team, and they would always say, Chris, they're not your friends, they're your employees, right? And I'd get that all the time. And I'm like, well, like, why are you going to gym with your employees? I used to go to the gym with my team, right? Or go for a run in the park at lunch. I'm like, right. And my CEO at the time would always say, like, no, they're your employees, not your team. I was like, no, this just can't be right. If I spend half my life with these people every day, and you're telling me not to build meaningful relationships with them, I spend more time with them than my family in most in most cases. So yeah, great piece of advice there. What's one book that you'd recommend to our audience and why?
Oh man, Radical Candor.
Yeah, that one's come up before.
I just think it's a great book. I think it's a management book, a leadership book, a tough conversations book. I think it'll help you in your personal relationships. I just think it's a great book.
it goes along with what we just spoke about before in the beginning. So yeah, worked out perfectly. What's one thing about your business you're most excited about?
The product development. I think there's a lot of opportunities in the technology to leverage technology to fulfill our mission. And I'm really excited to see what develops over the next year or so. And the talent we're bringing in that I know will impact that mission to see if they in fact do, you know, we just hired them and
yeah, you're like, come on, this is what's
happening. Come on, you can do it. Yeah,
that's the thing, right? You don't know until it's very interesting in the world of HR. You never really know. You can have that great feeling and that great interview and, you know, everything can be perfect. You just never know how it's going to work out.
Always fun.
Could you share one internet resource or some online resources or technologies that you use that have had a big impact? You mentioned some of the tools that you use for data, for example, or, you know, what do you use for your own personal learning and what tools are out there that you think our members should know about, our listeners?
Yeah. I subscribe to, you know, a lot of podcasts, lots of employer branding and HR podcasts, you know, such as your own.
Oh, thanks.
you know, try to read a lot of content. I read a lot of white papers that come inbound that I've signed up for, Bamboo HR and, you know, other vendors that have white papers. I think some of them are really good. And I just always try to keep reading. You know, there's so much content that comes in inbound nowadays.
Now it's just overwhelming. Before there was a monopoly on content and you had to pay for it. Now it's just everything.
It's everywhere. It's not hard to learn nowadays.
For me, the biggest challenge is actually sort of just taking all of the noise out of the way and finding stuff that's actually genuinely valuable.
Yes.
So it's tough. Fantastic. You mentioned some of the tools that you use for data. Yeah. What you mentioned, Culture Amp. Which of those tools, in your opinion, has had the biggest impact on you and the business?
I would probably say Culture Amp. I don't know. It's a tie between Culture Amp and Reflective because...
Oh, you're nice now. So I'm going to post this clip on LinkedIn.
I know.
I'm going to tag them in and put a Versus in the middle.
We use them in different ways. And without each of them, we wouldn't have a full picture of the story. So
amazing.
That's a tough one.
that's good. It's good for everyone to hear because that's another area where, you know, every day I'm sure you get an email or a message about this new tool that's going to solve all your HR challenges and all your problems. And it tells you it's going to predict everything for you. And it's going to tell you when your talent leaves and everything, right? There's a million new ones popping up. So it's good that those two you mentioned I hear quite often as well. So it's great for everyone listening to know that they're adding value to
absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, look, you've given us some amazing advice. So I really appreciate you taking the time out to join us, Tony. I think we could talk forever.
I know, we really around
these topics. Before we part ways, give our listeners, if there's that one piece of advice you could give to sort of leaders, that HR leaders that are on their journey, kind of what would that be? And also, what's the best way for our listeners to get in touch with you if they have any questions or want to reach out to you?
You know, the best piece of advice for HR leaders, I think, is to stay ingrained in the business and stay sharp and keep asking questions. I think it's the way you add the most value and meditate maybe.
You kind of need to. There's going to be some stressful situations out there, guys. You need to meditate.
Exactly.
You meditate, by the way, Tony.
I do. Yeah.
You do. Amazing.
I think it's important to stay calm and because I think in times of change, it's an incredibly stressful time in the industry, in the world, and in business, and particularly so many mergers and acquisitions and things that are impacting people leaders. And I think it's really important for people to be able to look at the people leader and see them calm, even if internally you don't always feel that way. So meditation is a good tool for that.
Yeah.
And and you can get in contact with me. It's just Tony, T-O-N-I at The Muse, or feel free to find me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active there.
Fantastic. Well, Tony, thank you again. For everyone listening, you can head over to hrleaders.com. There you'll find all of the show notes from the episode, everything we've been talking about, links to anything that was mentioned will be all listed there. Again, thank you for sharing your journey with our leaders, Tony, and I wish you all the best until we next speak.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been great talking to you. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks.